Welcome to the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Joe Masato, joined by Barry Trammell, here to recap a wild one. The Thunder beat the Blazers 134-131 on Monday night in Portland in a game that obviously had big stakes, considering the lottery standings, the reverse standings. Thunder had two to play still against the Blazers, and it looked like Portland was sort of had this one. The Thunder came storming back. Isaiah Roby hit a huge three-pointer to send the game into overtime, and then the Thunder won the game in overtime. Barry, before I turn this over to you, I just want to go on a mini rant. I'm just like, I understand why Thunder fans are disappointed. It's bad for the lottery standings. Maybe you miss out on the potential to get into the bottom three. You know, there's a few percentage points you might gain, but like some of the responses that I've just seen, I know Twitter is a terrible place. I know social media in general is a terrible place, but I like tweeted out a video of Isaiah Roby talking about his shot to send it into overtime. And someone was like, oh, this is the guy that ruined my franchise. And like so many people just are just like just outraged. And it's like the Thunder didn't play Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's out for the season. We'll talk about that. Trey Mann was a late scratch. Trey Mann, their best player remaining, was a late scratch with a hamstring strain. I mean, you're really going to like complain about Isaiah Roby scoring 30 points and Maladone and Krejci and Lindy Waters the third? Like, the Blazers were playing guys I've never even heard of, and I try to follow the NBA fairly closely. So, yeah, like, be disappointed. That's fine. I'm not trying to tell a Thunder fan how to feel, but the whole conversation to me has just gotten a little exhausting, and no one knows what's going to happen on lottery night. So, Barry, take it away.
It's simple mathematics, and people generally aren't that great in math. But here's a good way to think about it. Think about a piece of wood. And it can be like in a fence, you know, a stockade fence or whatever, big piece of wood, and getting a sliver when you handle that wood. That sliver and that piece of wood, that's how much the lottery chances change tonight with tonight's game. The Thunder was probably going to finish fourth anyway.
Exactly. Exactly.
Even win, lose, or, you know, collapse ceiling and the game has to be called. Doesn't matter. They were probably going to be fourth. Because everybody else is trying to lose, too.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, this pretty much ensures it, though. I mean.
And yes, it does. And here's the other thing. The difference between third and fourth in the lottery is just a few slivers. It's not a big chunk of board. It's just a few slivers. It's the only difference.
Yeah. Also, my point is, like, I totally get you want the best odds possible. That's the whole point of this whole thing. But, again, feel free to be disappointed now. But then on lottery night, you know, what if the Thunder climbed to third and the team with the fourth worst record wins the lottery? Then everyone's upset on the other direction.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And here's the other thing. We've talked about this. This whole lottery process, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Shaquille O'Neal, they are not in this lottery. They're not in this lottery. Maybe it's you're going to end up with a better player if you pick second instead of fourth, but maybe you won't. Don't go borrow in trouble. It's just no way to live. The Thunder's done about all it can do to improve its lottery chances. Now, we're 12 days left in the season. Just let it ride. In May, we'll find out where they pick. In June, we'll find out who they pick. In November, we'll find out, or October, what kind of player this guy is, whoever they pick. It's just not, yeah, it's way overblown. If you're tanking for Peyton Manning, okay. But Peyton Manning's not in this draft. He's not in this draft.
Yeah.
And besides, here's the other thing. The Blazers weren't going to let the Thunder lose. That was not going to happen tonight. I mean, Did anybody watch the last 4 seconds of overtime?
They just sort of
did anybody happen to watch? I mean, you're down three with, was it 8 seconds, I think, or seven. You inbound the ball, and you have no timeouts. So you drive to the bucket and shoot a layup with 3.5 seconds left, or 2.5 seconds left. So that way you can foul, and then you can try to go the length of the court with no timeouts. And by the length of the court, the Blazers inbounded you're 94 feet. The court is 94 feet long, and the Blazers inbounded the ball approximately 4 inches, so that they only had to go 93 feet 8 inches. So,
and then they just like paused, and it was very weird.
It was. You could argue that whatever lottery chances you lost, which again are slivers, it's more than made up for the potential residuals of Isaiah Roby and Theo Maledon.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe becoming better ball players because of the confidence. Isaiah Roby was 11 of 13 tonight, 4 of 5 from 3-point range. He's Barry, 4 of 5 from 3-point range.
Do you know what he's shooting from 3 this year?
I knew he was in the 40s before tonight.
Yeah, coming into tonight he was 42%. He was 27 of 65. So tonight I know this is a small sample and everything like that, but what did he go tonight?
So he's 4-5. So he's 31 of 70 this year.
Yeah, 31 of 70.
So that's, you know, he's 45% or whatever that is. You know what? You can play in the NBA if you're as big and mobile as he is and make 40-something percent of your three-pointers.
Also, to that point, it's a nice thought. I doubt that, you know, Isaiah Roby or Theo Maledon or Vete Krejci or Lindy Waters is going to be a difference maker from the Thunder. But you also watch that game and, you know, seeing Isaiah Roby celebrate after that shot and seeing, like, the bench go crazy, like, it's just like a feel-good moment. I mean, this is a guy who would not be in that spot had half the roster not been hurt. He's been in the G League. He's gone through ups and downs. And then he hits, like, you know, the biggest shot of his life, probably. And, you know, you just, like, feel happy for a guy like that. And I think I harp on this all the time, but just being around these guys, like, Isaiah Roby, when he's lining up to take that shot, he is not thinking about lottery odds. He is not thinking about where the Thunder might be 4 years from now, or the difference between Chet Holmgren and Jabari Smith. He's trying to make the shot. He's trying to stick around. He's trying to boost his own stats and, you know, make his own legacy and all of that stuff. Like, you can't expect the players to, like, cooperate in the tank. I mean, the guys on the bench, right, they can't help. But the guys on the court, they're going to play their hardest.
That's exactly right. No doubt about it. A guy like Vete Krejci, I mean, this guy, he's now 26 of 62 from three-point range. He's trying to tell not just Sam Presti and Mark Daigneault, but 29 other coaches, 29 other general managers, I can play in this league.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's starting to come through some thick skulls like mine that maybe he is a ball player. I mean, he's 26 of 62. From three-point range, here as a rookie. So
they shot 44% from three, 20 of 45.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. And, you know, I applaud the Blazers. They had a bunch of guys making shots, too. They were 20 of 50.
How about Ben McLemore, 8 of 18 from three?
Yeah, he was.
Was he the most famous player on the floor tonight? Like the most known to an average NBA fan?
I'm going to say, outside, unless you've got somebody like Poku, who has sort of a cult following. Not because he's any good, but just because his name's Poku and he's 9 foot six. So it's either Poku or, but in terms of legitimate ball player with, you know, some sort of track record, it was Ben McLemore by a long shot.
Which is crazy.
By a long shot. Which is crazy. Although, you know, well, and Chris Dunn.
Yeah, I mean, he's like Dunn.
Sixth pick in the draft or seventh or whatever it was out of Providence a few years ago.
That's true. I even forgot about Chris Dunn, and I just watched him play. But it certainly wasn't Kelgen Blevins or Elijah Hughes or C.J. Ellaby or Brandon Williams. Don't know much about him, but boy, did he have a great game tonight. 25 points.
One of the radio guys in one of the radio pregame shows says on the Blazer website, Brandon Williams, they don't even have his picture up. It's just a silhouette. They don't even have a picture.
I would say now's a good time to put his picture up.
How about Drew Eubanks? Talking about Isaiah Roby. Drew Eubanks, 12 of 14. If Portland wanted to win this game tonight, you know what they'd have done? They'd have thrown the ball in the low block to Drew Eubanks every single time down the floor.
An Oregon State
every
Beaver.
Single time. Is that what he was? Really?
Yeah.
I had no clue. Yeah. I had no idea. I didn't know.
That's the point. Like, both of these, it was laughable how... Okay, here's how I view the Trey Mann news just before tip-off about his late scratch with a hamstring strain. Either Trey Mann indeed strained his hamstring, or it was the most blatant tanking move the Thunder has ever made, because, like, you're getting to the point where, like, you don't even want Trey Mann to play in a game. And so that's what I'm saying. They did just about everything possible that they could have to lose this game.
Yeah, they did, and, you know, sometimes you just can't, you know, it's like the great old Batman movie, the spoof, not one of the dark new ones, but the 66 Adam West Batman movie. You know, he runs all over Gotham City with a ticking bomb, because every place he wanted to throw the bomb, there was, you know, potential problems, including he's going to throw it in a pond, but there's ducks. He wasn't going to blow up the ducks, and... Finally, he says, some days you just can't get rid of a bomb. Well, some days you just can't win, or in this case, lose. Aaron Wiggins scored 28 points tonight.
Yeah.
He's been terrible for 3 weeks since he got back. He had 28 points.
Yeah, it was a career high for Roby. He had 30. Career high for Wiggins. He had 28. Teo Maladon had 23, 10, and 5. I mean, when only 8 guys are available and you're playing against, you know, Drew Eubanks and C.J. Ellaby and, you know, Keon Johnson, who played 42 minutes tonight, by the way. But when you're playing against those guys, you're going to have big-time performances. And Mark Degnan even talked about this before the game. We've talked about it a lot at the end of last season. Like, what is legitimate? Like, we knew what Moses Brown was doing wasn't sustainable. Isaiah Roby's not going to be a 30-point scorer in this league, but you can't argue with 11 of 13 on 4 or 5 shooting and say, hey, that's at least a step in the right direction for a guy like Isaiah Roby or, you know, someone like Aaron Wiggins. Like, it certainly is better than them going, you know, 2 of 13 and just looking totally lost against inferior competition.
All the stats get inflated in a game like this. Maladon's 10 rebounds, you know, Poku had 11 assists, for crying out loud.
And 6 turnovers.
So, but the one thing that is legit in just about any game is three-point shooting.
Yeah.
Because here's the deal. Now, if he becomes an all-star, people will start paying attention to him. But the shots Isaiah Roby got tonight, he's gonna get those about any night he wants them. People aren't going to respect Isaiah Roby or Vic Krejci or Aaron Wiggins, not for a long while.
Yeah.
So that's legitimate stuff. You make a 25-footer, that's legitimate stuff.
Well, and here's the thing about Roby. His only chance to stick in the NBA is to be a stretch five. Like, that's his only chance. He's not good enough defensively. He's not big enough. He doesn't have, like, a back-to-the-basket game. Like, he's out there to stretch the floor as a big man. So... I mean, that's going to be his carrying skill if he sticks around. And he shot it well tonight, which is good for him. And he's frankly shot it better than I even realized on the season. Again, I know it's a small sample size, but shooting north of 40%, not too shabby.
I mean, he's a guy the Thunder might say, you know what? Let's bring this guy back. He might be able to help us down the stretch.
He's better than Justin Patton, and that's who he was traded for. So The Thunder won that very low stakes trade.
They did. It's a very good point. They did win that trade, no doubt about it.
In all seriousness, Barry, I know this was a game that obviously had tanking implications. Neither team, trotted out. There was 19 guys on the injury report. 19. 16 players available to play, 19 players unavailable to play. But through all that, we talked about the shooting. Like, this was not a hard game to watch. I thought it was, like, really exciting down to the wire. Like, I mean, if you sort of, like, take out the tank stakes, it was a pretty fun game, I thought.
Well, it was, and that's what happens when you don't have defense played. I mean, nobody's playing much defense. Who's playing defense in that game? Who played, let's see, who's the biggest guys out there? For the Thunder, Sarr's a good-sized player. Sarr. Poku's tall. And then Roby, but nobody's defense.
Robinson Earl was back. Did you see anything?
He looked rusty.
Yeah,
he looked really rusty. That's about all I could say about him. Lindy Waters, I thought 4 of 10 from deep is in this kind of game looks not that great, but it's 40%. So
he was 4 of 10 two nights ago too.
So, he's raising that percentage up a little bit. And, by the way, good story. I very much enjoyed the Lindy Waters Native American piece from Denver with, the 100 kids or so who came to see him play. So,
yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's cool to see. And that one was a little bit of an outlier because it was an organized event and everything. But everywhere he goes, there are Native American kids or families who are there at the game just to watch Lindy Waters play, which is really cool.
Yeah, I think I told you this on one of our previous, at least in Oklahoma, and I think this is throughout the American West, Native Americans love their basketball.
Mm-hmm.
It's a subgroup of basketball fans that just love the sport and play it with passion and often. So if they had somebody to sort of sink their teeth into in terms of an NBA, who's a kid? I forgot. He was the phenom, didn't last, but was the Asian American.
Jeremy Lin.
Jeremy Lin, same kind of deal. So he can be sort of a citadel for Native people. I think that's definitely, and you know what? This is hell. This shooting's going to help him because he's up to, let's see, he made to 435 of 104. So he's up to about, 34-35% from deep. So I don't think he hadn't ruined his chance at the NBA. Now he needs to shoot better than that.
Yeah.
But I think he'll get some more looks. Going forward in the future. So that's a good thing.
Barry, let's wrap up with some injury news. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander wasn't a big surprise, but we talked two nights ago. Mark Daigneault said there was going to be a conversation with him about his status moving forward. Mark says pregame that Shai's season is over. He will not play in these final seven games. They're, calling it right ankle soreness, and, he wouldn't be able to get back in time. I think if these games mattered, he would definitely be playing. I asked Mark how that conversation went with Shai, and he said, we wouldn't be doing the plan if it wasn't collaborative with him. Clearly, this is where we landed, where all parties are committed to that. If he wasn't committed to it, we wouldn't do it. When I hear the plan, I think of the long-term plan as much as I do the injury plan, but, I guess it's a good sign for the Thunder that Shai is on board.
Yeah, and he's a smart guy. There's not any reason for them to not level with him. Just sit him down and say, Shai, there's no reason for you to play. Although, frankly, now that I think they're solidified into the fourth, maybe bring him out of mothballs. Let him play if he wants to. Who cares?
Yeah. Well, they're not going to do that now that they said he's done for the year.
Well, that's probably true.
Then their ankle argument goes out the window.
Let's see, they got 7 games left. Is anybody coming back from injury?
Will
Trey Mann play? I mean, we got no Giddy, we got no Dort.
Well, they have to have 8, And I have no indication that they're going to sign anyone to a 10-day. That's still a possibility. They have to have eight.
Who could come back? Trey Mann.
Yeah, I think.
Anybody else? Is that it?
The only guys who haven't, that are still hurt, that haven't been ruled out for the season are Kenrich Williams and Derek Favors. And I think it's a long, long shot if either of those two guys come back. Favors has basically been shut down. Kenrich is out with a right knee sprain. There's been absolutely no word on his status. But I would guess Mann's going to come back and they'd move forward with nine guys.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Just to wrap up on the injury front, Barry, the injury to Darius Bazley was more serious than maybe we knew. It was officially a right knee sprain, but that was before they looked at it further. He had an MRI yesterday, and get ready for this. It's long. A non-displaced tibial plateau fracture in his right knee. Mark Zegnalt said it's not as severe as it might sound. Sound pretty severe, so I'm glad he said that. And he said he'll be back to basketball activities during the offseason. So doesn't seem like a thing that's going to hamper him from getting ready for next year, which is good. But Darius Bazley's season is officially over.
Well, I would call it a success. Darius played well down the stretch, sort of reinvented himself as a defensive guy and showed some offensive chops too at times. So I'm going to call it a successful year for Bazley, and I would not have it midseason, but I will now. So
yeah.
Salute to you, Darius Bazley.
Yeah, same here. His offense is, kind of remains inconsistent. I'm not sure it'll ever, be a strength of his, but if he plays defense like that and just the versatility he brings on defense, he's going to stick around even if his offense, doesn't take a leap. It might not be with the Thunder, but there's just about every team can use a, 6'8", 6'9", guy who can defend multiple positions, maybe stand in the corner and try to hit a corner three every now and then. So Bazley really did take a big step in the second half, and that was good to see. Okay, Barry, any last thoughts from this one before we wrap up?
I feel a sense of relief and finality. I mean, I've been reading his standings upside down for five months, but
I'm
think
tired
we can,
of it.
But I think we can say, hey, they're going to be fourth. That's what they are. So check back with us on lottery night, and we'll see where they pick.
Yeah, it kind of takes the drama, the intense analysis of every game down the stretch sort of takes that out of it. So maybe everyone can just coast to the finish line from here on out. All right. Well, thank you all for listening to the Thunder Buddies podcast, and we will be back with you Wednesday night. A couple fun games coming up, Barry. A few of them, actually. This next homestand, the last homestand of the season, against the Hawks on Wednesday. So Trae Young against the Pistons on Friday, Cade Cunningham coming back, and then you've got the Suns coming in on Sunday. So those should be pretty fun to watch, fun to talk about afterwards. And thank you as always for listening, and we'll be back with you on Wednesday.